Good morning. And welcome to First United Methodist Church of Pine Mountain. So nice to see you here. Those of you who are new, now I've already settled a couple of visitors. I am not the pastor. In case you're getting confused, you'll know after the service gets done. Kaylin and Allison are in Barcelona enjoying a vacation. If any of you are friends with them on Facebook, you can see what kind of food they're eating and how wonderful it looks. Someone has already mentioned we may have to give him a bonus to go shopping for some new clothes after he gets through with all the food. But I was looking for some way to make a joke about him being gone. Now, there it is. But welcome this morning. Have announcements, anybody? I've got a couple of things, but somebody have something they want to tell us or know about? I want to say a special welcome to some of our guests. Some are here from other churches in the area. Because they're without a preacher this morning, so this is the best they could do. and we've got one gentleman here from Florida who's a retired Presbyterian preacher. We're glad to have them here, and thank you all for being here. A couple announcements I do have concern. This is going to sound like a commercial at first. This afternoon at the First United Methodist Church in LaGrange, the West Georgia Choral Society is having their annual concert. And our James Kemp is going to be one of the soloists in that, so that comes. But it's at 5:30, and I happen to have three free tickets, if anybody would like to go. We have a couple other people, Bobby, Mary Ann, myself, are in that chorus tonight, too. So it's going to be a great program. If you'd like that, see me after the service. I have those. Now, while I'm on the subject of concerts, 2 weeks from last night will be the Sons of Lafayette Christmas concert, also at First United Methodist Church in LaGrange. And between James and Terry and John and myself, we all have tickets for that available also. So you can see any of the guys who are in that Sons of Lafayette male chorus for that concert. Now, a little more locally, there are two things in your bulletin that you ought to pay attention to, everything in there really, but particularly these handout sheets. It's time to start gathering orders for the poinsettias that we'll have around the church during Christmas, and you can give one in honor of, or in memory of, or just give one from yourself. It makes the place look beautiful. And the one other thing, the little yellow sheet, I'm not sure you have it. If you don't have it, you can get it out in the narthex. It's not too late to sign up for the Bible study starting a week from tomorrow. The week from tomorrow morning that Lamar will be teaching entitled Christmas Gifts That Don't Break. I'll refer to those later, but he has the book available, and if you'd like to sign up for that, you can. Now, are you sure no one else has announcements? Yes, Danny. Very good. I saw a hand over here, I thought.
UMW meeting, they've got on here the Monday, the 2nd of December, and it's not. It's Tuesday.
It's going to be Tuesday the 3rd, okay? Any other announcements? If not, join me in invocation. Come, Holy Spirit, be with us this day and throughout. Guide us, direct us. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. In Christ's name, amen. James, prepare our hearts for worship.
Prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison, But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him steadfast love, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's care all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison paid no heed to anything that was in Joseph's care, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper.
Would say amen, would go home, but I'm going to wait till after the offertory. And then our opening hymn is number 694. Please stand as we sing, "Come You Thankful People." Oh. For our affirmation of faith, you can find it in page 881, the Apostles' Creed. Friends, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. Our Old Testament scripture reading comes from 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, verses 7 through 36. David has appointed some Levites to singing the praises to God and giving thanks. This is a psalm, actually, in the book of 1 Chronicles, David's psalm of thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing praises to him and tell of all his wonderful works. Glory to his holy name. Let hearts of those who seek him rejoice. Remember the wonderful works he has done. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever and the word commanded for thousands of generations. Sing to the Lord, all ye earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare the glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be revered above all. Honor and majesty are before him. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due him. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy splendor, all the earth. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let them say among nations, the Lord is King. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. And all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Are there prayer requests that you would have, joys, or concerns this morning? Certainly. Yes, Josh.
My wife and I are actually moving to Germany. I'm going to sing, and she's going to work on the Air Force Base. And we would just like your thoughts and prayers. It would appear that some of our family won't be able to come with us on the initial journey next Friday. And if you could pray for all of our safety of our family, that would be wonderful.
Amen. Yes, Dean.
All our military and first responders, especially during the holidays.
Especially, thank you. We have some who are suffering some colds and some other more serious ills, but without naming them all, we'll keep them in our prayers. But particularly, let's be in prayer for safe travels of Kaylin and Allison on their vacation, and hope they're enjoying it thoroughly and eating the food and enjoying everything that they seem to be, but return to us safely by next weekend. Let's keep them in our prayers. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts. And help us remember, not just this time of the year, not just this week that we celebrate a holiday for Thanksgiving, but in our hearts, always, always give us grateful hearts and remind us of your world, your blessings, and your amazing grace to us. Lord, you've heard us lift names, and you know the names of those that may be infirmed or sick that need your care. We pray for that, as well as the caregivers for them. Your scriptures say if we pray and ask with a sincere heart, you will answer our prayers, and we are counting on you today for that very thing, for that very promise. We ask you bless this congregation today, this community, and around the world, but particularly in America, as we ready ourselves to give special honor to you and to all the blessings you've given us as we celebrate the Thanksgiving holiday. And as I said, keep us mindful to be in that same of that same mind all year round. You've heard it raised that we be concerned for our representation around the world, not only our military, but other people like Josh who are going to Germany and other parts of the world, that we truly be, as we believe we are called to be, the shining light among nations and for your people all around the world. Now we make these requests, we make these pleas and these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our children here this morning, come here, Miss Mary King. Come on down. Good. Got a visitor.
Oh, I got this morning.
Yeah.
So glad to see y'all today. I've got something to share with y'all. I've been working really hard. Thanksgiving dinner ready for everybody, and I brought some up here to share with y'all.
All right.
It's in here. Did y'all come on have Thanksgiving dinner first? No.
Well, I don't think that's enough to go around.
Okay, here we go. I've got canned corn, 5 pieces, and there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of them. Well, we can share, right? Does this look like a good Thanksgiving dinner? But I love candy corn. Don't y'all like candy corn? Everybody likes candy corn. Yeah. But it's not enough. And what else do you think I should have? Turkey. What else? Some vegetables, probably. Yeah. Potatoes. Maybe some pie. Yeah, some macaroni and cheese. That would help out, wouldn't it? Well, you know, the first Thanksgiving was the Pilgrims and Indians. But before they had Thanksgiving, they had a whole year ahead of that where they were on, you know, they'd come to America to escape being persecuted. And they wanted to worship God in their own way. They didn't know how to grow food in America.
They had no idea.
They didn't know how to hunt. They didn't know what they were doing. And so they were very, very hungry that first winter. You know how many pieces of corn they're all to have every day? Just kernels. 5 kernels of corn a day. But that was really hard, wasn't it? And they were really, really hungry. Really sad. But if they eat all the corn, what would they plant in the springtime? They wouldn't have had any, so they had to save some to plant in the spring. So they had to sacrifice all the corn so that they knew that they'd have something. They had faith that God would get them through it, even on just 5 kernels of corn a day. So we need to have that same kind of faith that God will get us through things. Even if things aren't great, even if it's not what we planned, God will get us through, and good things are coming for those who sacrifice, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's say a prayer.
Dear God, thank you so much for holidays with family and reminders of all the ways you take care of us. Amen. Let's go downstairs. Big day.
That's just for the children. If our ushers and acolytes would come for the morning offering. Let us pray. God, we offer our gifts and tithes with thankful hearts. Please bless them. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you.
Please remain standing as we have our song of hymn of meditation. Now, you might not think of this as a Thanksgiving song, but it is something to truly be grateful for, and you can really get into it. Go, James.
You sing a part. Sing a part that you know. You can make up a part, too.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me bright as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen. You may be seated. About 6 months ago, Kalen found out he was coming to our church, as we did. He came to visit. This was a couple of months before he was actually here. He came to visit one day, I think it was back in April. And I was showing him around, and we were talking, getting to know each other. And we walked in this door over here to the sanctuary, and around to the front, he looks at the sanctuary, and around we kind of walk our way back. And why we sat down, I'm not sure. But back there where Ann and Martha and Pat and Jim Bob and Caleb all are sitting, we sat on that pew. We sat there for about 15 or 20 minutes and just talked. Just talk. I couldn't tell you but one thing I remember he said. And that one thing I remember he said, he looked at me. He said, "Will the congregation get upset if I step away from the pulpit?" I said, "As long as you stay inside the sanctuary." Because if they would get upset, they would have walked out a long time ago, because they've heard Harold give a message here before. And you know that Harold can't stand still. He's got to go from one side to the other. Today, I'm going to stand a little bit stiller, because I want to be sure that I get the points in order and exactly what I want to say today. You've already heard a message. Thank you for staying. Josh, thank you for the messages that you've given us already. And you as the congregation for being here. Now, I know you're like me this time of the year. This particular week, you have your mind on one thing. That one thing is what you're going to be doing and where you're going to be and who you're going to be with on Thursday. Am I right? Now, maybe you're sort of like me. We used to have a Thanksgiving tradition. We always went to Bobby's home in Thomasville and all of the relatives there. The sad thing is not many of them are there anymore. Our daughters grew up knowing that. This week, we got two messages in today's modern world of communication. One of them says, we're going to Memphis for Thanksgiving week while the kids are out of school. I thought to myself, Memphis. Boy, that's one of the places I'd want to be at Thanksgiving. Memphis barbecue. They're going to spend a couple of nights at the Peabody Hotel and enjoy some time there. The other message came from my daughter in Atlanta, and she says, oh, I don't think we've told you. We're going to Rome in Thanksgiving week. I said, good, I'm going too. My brother lives in Rome. We're going to Rome, Georgia. She said, no, Daddy. We're going to Rome, Italy. I am confident that they do that so they don't have to put up with me around the Thanksgiving table. Whatever the reason, you like me are thinking about Thanksgiving this year. You're thinking about it the day that we celebrate. I got to thinking about it as I was preparing the words for this message, and I thought about, I am truly grateful. I truly am so blessed that I cannot count all the blessings. Remind me of a prayer that a little boy said at a Thanksgiving table. The family was gathered around the table, and everybody was going to say what they were thankful for and enumerate some of the things they've been thankful for. The little five-year-old was looking at that turkey in the middle of the table. He said, well, I'm thankful for that turkey, even though I hadn't eaten it. Yes, I know it's going to be good. But he didn't stop there. He said, I'm also thankful for my mother for cooking. I'm thankful for my daddy for buying and bringing here. I'm thankful for the grocery store, the person who checked it out, the person who put it in stock. I'm thankful for the farmer that raised it. I'm thankful for the people that made the food, that the feed that fed the turkey and made it fat. And delivered to the grocery store. I'm just thankful all about it. About that time, he said, did I leave anybody out? And his little brother, 3 years old, said, you didn't mention God. He said, I was getting to him. Is that the way we are? We're so thankful for these material things, all these wonderful things we have, the food we have to eat, our homes, the blessing of this country. And we forget to give thanks to God and His amazing grace for us. So I'm thinking about this preparation and where could I find the right words, and I started to look for things. What do we do today when we want to know about something a little more than we thought we knew? Bobby says it. What do, Bobby? Google it. So I Googled it. The first Thanksgiving I Googled. Is it true? And I said, is there evidence that the Pilgrims and the Native Americans celebrated the first Thanksgiving? Now, you see, like these kids and the Thanksgiving dinner and all we learned and the Native Americans and the Pilgrims that we're eating together, we've done that our whole lives. Through school, we have the Thanksgiving feast. We learned that. But I decided, okay, I'm going to Google it. Is there evidence? Is there evidence that the Pilgrims and Native Americans were the first to celebrate Thanksgiving feast in 1621 at Plymouth Colony, Massachusetts? You didn't know you could Google that long of a sentence, did you? Actually, the Native Americans had celebrated a harvest feast and given thanks for centuries before then, as many other people around the world. Actually, the Pilgrims were less than 30 of the 102 people on the Mayflower. So these were all new settlers. Actually, only half of them lived through their first winter. Actually, they may not have been very friendly with the Native Americans and vice versa. However, there's indication that the Native Americans did help them through that first winter. But in spite of all of that, it's a tradition we all love, and almost every president, including Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and particularly Lincoln, have made proclamations of Thanksgiving. And Lincoln, in 1863, wrote the proclamation that says the fourth Thursday in November, this country, uniquely of all countries, this country will celebrate a day, a holiday, giving thanks to God and to all that we have. Well, we think of Thanksgiving as that day of food, family, football. So that made me look for some other traditions. Is watching football after the Thanksgiving meal a tradition at your house? Actually, football wasn't invented until 1876, and it wasn't a regular TV production until the 1950s. But it is a good inducement for that nap after the turkey meal. And then the more later tradition. Do you try to be first in line for Black Friday shopping day and leave after Thanksgiving dinner? I know there's people that do that. Each his own. How you celebrate Thanksgiving, but what I'm saying is, so many of our celebrations do not include God. Yep, we'll mention it. We have a prayer. Yep, we'll talk about it. We know it's there. We've come to this service. We've been reminded. But God's amazing grace is the most wonderful gift we all have. And if we fail to mention it, and if we fail to give thanks, and not just on this Thursday, but all the time and throughout. So as I looked at this, I said, being thankful and having a grateful heart, even on a special day, is that enough? And I decided, no. It's got to lead you to something else. It's got to have its effects on our lives. As I searched, I found the book of Colossians, scripture where in chapter 3, where Paul wrote to the Colossians saying this. And this is our scripture text for this message. Paul said, be thankful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with wisdom. And as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So, if you were to pick a passage, three verses, to direct your whole life, this could be it. These three verses could be the way you should lead your life. In fact, the scripture indicates that strongly. We are a family of God. And as verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you would call to peace. Be thankful. Let the thankfulness lead to this. So I came up with letting each verse lead us to what would be an effect of our thankfulness in our life. And they tell us right there. Peace. Peace in the body of Christ. Do you feel peace in the body of Christ? Now, I've been in 5 Methodist churches in my life. It's not because I left, because something was going wrong. It's not because they ran me off. It was because Campbell's Soup, primarily I blame them, they couldn't decide where they wanted me to be a manager. So they moved me to several different places. That's most of the reason. Point is, in some of those churches, I have found churches that are truly not at peace. Oh yes, the doctrine and the theology is all the same in the Methodist church, and I appreciate that. But you can always find somewhere there's not complete peace, where people are not living in peace with one another. They're criticizing something somebody did, especially behind their back. They're not forgiving each other as they should. They're not even asking for forgiveness except when they say the Lord's Prayer. Scripture says, the peace of Christ, the peace that reflects God through our faith in Christ, who paid for all our sins. This thankfulness should lead us to peace. But you see, when selfishness is present, peace is not easy to come by. When we're thinking about who did what, when, and they shouldn't, it's hard to live in peace. As I said, we pray to be forgiven as we forgive. Do you really want to be forgiven as you forgive? It did make me think of a prayer that I'd read that a married woman actually said. It was in print. I hope none of you relate to this, but she said, "Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand my man. Lord, I pray for love to forgive him of the stupid things he's done. Lord, I pray for patience to put up with his moods. Now, Lord, I don't pray for strength, because if I pray for strength, I might beat him to death. You got to ask for some forgiveness sometimes, and you got to do it in the right attitude in your prayer. It's really that good, huh? We promote peace when we pray for people. We promote peace when we pray with people. We promote peace by speaking well of them, particularly behind their back. We promote peace by refusing to gossip and grumble. Have you ever been in a grumbling church where every time you turned around, somebody was grumbling about something they didn't like or what they didn't want to do about it? We promote peace by seeing the good in people and praising them for it. We can be truly thankful to God when we promote peace in the family of God, as the scripture verse tells us. Here's a second way we can promote peace and get another effect from the true thankfulness. True thankfulness will open our hearts to Scripture. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and gratitude in our hearts to God." Scriptures themselves are a gift that we should be thankful for. Not just hearing Scripture, that's wonderful. Not just reading Scripture, that's even better. But studying Scripture. What does it mean in the words when it says, "richly dwell in you"? It means getting to know about it. You know, there's a lot of people who think they know a lot about religion. There's a lot of religious know-it-alls. But there's very few people who are really wise in Scripture to present their love for one another. Well, here's some suggestions the way you can improve that. One is, approaching Christmas, I would suggest that you try to read one of the Gospels, one of the four Gospels, between now and Christmas. You could do it in just a few minutes a day. You could read Matthew if you're into ancestry. Did you know that you could read the Gospel of Mark as if it's written in first person? See, it begins with John's baptism of Jesus, and you can read it as if Jesus is telling his own story. You can read the book of Luke if you like some wonderful parables and the lost and found chapter. And then John, the Gospel of Love. Try to read one of those at least between now and Christmas. As I said, all it takes is about 10 or 15 minutes every morning, and you can go all the way through any one of them or more. Here's another suggestion. If you want to get into Scriptures, you need to go to a Bible study. It just so happens that a week from tomorrow morning, Lamar will be starting a Bible study on gifts that won't break. Christmas gifts that won't break. It's not too late to sign up. I know it made me think about Christmas gifts that won't break. I remember one Christmas, oh, it was a long time ago. I was about 7 or 8 years old, and my grandfather, we would always go over Christmas morning to my grandfather and grandmother's house, and I got a gift from them that I thought was the greatest gift in the world. It was a little axe about that long, a little hatchet. He knew that I liked to cut stove wood. Now, why would you cut stove wood? In today's time, you don't even know what that is. My grandmother cooked all of her meals on a wood fire burning stove. The biscuits, oh my word, how could she keep that temperature control? It didn't have a dial there that said to turn it to 400 or 350. But if she knew how to manage that stove wood to get it just right, and everything she baked and everything she cooked was the best it could be, the biscuits. She'd lay out this plow, she'd pull out the drawer, and she'd get the flour out and start making the dough. I get a little off the subject, I'm sorry. I got a gift. There's a little hatchet. Well, now my grandfather knew I don't know what it is about cutting stove wood. But I liked splitting it. You know, you'd have a piece and you split a piece off and you split some more off, and of course you watch out for your hand. Well, I didn't watch out close enough, and I drew back on about the third or fourth piece and I hit it good and hard, and it hit it a glancing blow and hit this hand right here. I still have a scar today, a little V-shaped scar with that little axe. I'm thankful for that scar. It reminds me of the time that I had a gift that broke that I was so proud of. Because after I cut my hand, I turned and I hit the chopping block so hard, not on the head of the axe, but to the handle, that it broke. Gifts that don't break. Christmas gifts that don't break. I'm looking forward to that. Here's another suggestion if you want to get the ingrained the scripture in your heart. As we approach the new year, why don't you commit to read through the Bible, or at least the New Testament? Again, 15 minutes a day and you can read through the New Testament in a year. Oh, those are all challenges, because it's following. Here's something true thankfulness should cause us to do. Are you thankful for just having the Scriptures? Just having the Holy Bible? Or do you lay it on a shelf or a table and let it gather dust? Are you thankful enough for it to at least read it? Because see, when we read scriptures privately and study them, then when we come together, we have a much more glorious time, a much more grateful time, a much more thankful time, a time gathered with thankful people. Isn't it wonderful to gather together with thankful people? Again, rather than being a grumbling congregation, I think there are congregations that need to be truly thankful and ingrain the scripture in their heart. True thankfulness will promote peace. True thankfulness will open your hearts to scripture. And verse 17 is a third way that thankfulness can have its effect on us. It says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." A lot of people who just see Christ in people when they come to church on Sunday. There's a lot of people who just hear the scriptures on Sunday. There's a lot of people who just give thanks on Thanksgiving Day. And maybe they hear it at some other time. But we're supposed to be thankful all the time. Whether we're driving our car down the street, whether you're pulled up at that red light down at the corner of 18 that lasts a full minute, I know I've timed it. Thanks to the DOT. I think they got the wrong light. I think they were supposed to do this one down here that was maybe hold you a minute. Because the one down there, I get tired sitting in line. And yes, I have learned the routes around that light. Oh, again, I kind of get off the subject. But being thankful, even when I'm sitting there waiting on that red light, I was reminded coming here again this morning. And I just put this in at the last minute. Be thankful when you're driving. Be thankful for your gifts and your talents. Your abilities with your work and with working with other people. Living for Christ in your everyday life is rooted in thankfulness. Be kind to the people who serve you. Be kind to the store clerks. Be kind to the server in a restaurant. They can't help it if they don't have what you want to buy. They can't help it if they don't have on the menu what you wanted to order. Being kind to one another is an effect of true thankfulness in our heart. When you have true thankfulness, God will do some wonderful things in your life. You'll probably wonder why you haven't been more thankful before. So according to Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, true thankfulness will promote peace in the family of God. We need that. True thankfulness will open your heart to scriptures. You need that. True thankfulness will impact our everyday lives. My prayer is that we have true thankfulness. True thankfulness that will impact our everyday lives and will impact our service and will impact our bodies of Christ as we meet together to serve and show our thankfulness. Will we be thankful enough, not just this week when it's a nice word to say, but in every day in our lives, we'll be thankful enough to show the effects that others will see it? Amen and amen. Our invitation is number 688. 688, God that madest earth and heaven. Let's stand as we're saying number 688 together. Show the effects to others. Now go in peace, and may the God of peace be with you. Amen.
Amen.